Okay, so this is our final shir on the topic of Misachli Bekuvia. Again, next time we'll be moving on to the topic of Eino the Meis Masa Rasha. It comes up on Chaf Hei and earlier in the Misachta. Fine. Okay, so we were in the middle of discussing the Shita of Sheshes, right? Basically, the question we're going to analyze is, right, the Shita of Sheshes, he basically says the basis of the Psul Misachli Bekuvia is this factor of Ein Asukim B'Yeshiva Sha'olam. As we pointed out, the big issue within, you know, the Mefarshim is how to understand the relationship between Rav Sheshes' opinion and the previous Shita of Rami Bar Chama. Basically, is this factor of Ein Asukin Yeshiva Sha'olam an independent factor, or is it somehow combining with the earlier factor of Asnachta Lokan? So the first approach in the Mefarshim is basically in line with our Girsa, which first has Rav Sheshes rejecting the factor of smachta as applied here, where it says our gears is kolki agav the lava smachta, right? Saying the factor of smachta l'kayin doesn't apply to our case at hand. It's rather a factor of ein asukim b'shivah sha'olam, and that is the only issue at hand. Oh. To point out within this first approach, again there seems to be two sub approaches, called 1A and 1B, in terms of what exactly is this independent psul of ein asukim b'shivah sha'olam. Again, the fact that he's not part of civilization. Why in the world would that be a psul edus? How does it translate into a psul? So you pointed out last time we developed through a number of Rishonim, prominent Rishonim, so Rashi, Yad Ramah, the Meiri, the Ramban, the Rashba, a whole bunch of, you know, classical Rishonim, who basically seem to understand the factor, the psul of Ein Asukin B'Shiva Sha'olam, as basically in some way or another, basically being a psul Rasha Midraban. Again, meaning the notion of psul rasha midaraisa requires, you know, the violation of an avera, a strict avera daraisa, or, and the details are in chavzayim. But according to these rishonim, what ein asukim b'shiva sha'olam does is that it basically is a psul rasha midrabanan, and we discuss the different factors why somehow someone being outside of yeshiva sha'olam impacts the person's mindset and makes him into a rasha in terms of his mindset and his perspective regarding other people's money. We went into the details last time. So again, approach number 1A was that it's an independent psul of the variety of a psul rasha midrabanan, and therefore we saw the Ramban and the Rashba, who basically understood who basically applied the psul, the ena, the mesim atma rasha, to this, you know, misachet b'kuvya, even within the manda amar, ena sukim b'shuvah sha'olam, which is, again, was a clear indication that they're understanding it as a form of a psul rasha midrabanan. Approach 1B is that, again, it's within approach number 1 that it's an independent psul. We're going to see within the Pnei Yoshua B'Shem Rashi, and the Rav has this idea that it's possible to understand the factor of Yeshiva Sha'olam as an independent psul, but one which is unconnected to the person. Basically, it's an independent psul, but it's not a psul gavra, it's not a form of a psul rasha. So first we'll document it and then try to explain psul rasha, what type of psul is it. First, just to document this, is that first you have is the Pnei Yoshua and Ksuba Sirchas and Abes. Again, the Pnei Yoshua here is commenting on the Rashi that the Ramban and the Rashi were commenting on. Basically, this is we read last time. The Rashi in the Mishnah Nirchas and Abes is the famous Mishnah, the case where Edim were Mekayim their signatures, they recognize their signatures, say, oh, Ksav Yodenu is it. Well, one of the examples of all, you know, psule edus, right? We're psule edus. The question. So basically, the question is, what type of psule edus are they? I mean, are they, you know, making themselves out to be? So Rashi on the spot on the Mishnah says, gives an example of misachi b'kubya. As we pointed out, the Rashba and the Ramban say, how can you say such a thing? Even if you're calling yourself misachi b'kubya, you know, the Mesa Matzah Rasha, even if in the Mandamar of Rav Sheshes, that the factor is in asukin. Yeshiva Sha'olam. So in that context, Pnei Yoshua responds to that question and says, you got Rashi all wrong. Rashi differentiates between these two shitos in the Gemara in terms of whether Misachta B'Kuvya would have a Shem Rashi. Pnei Yoshua says, according to the Manda Amar, according to Rami Bar Chama, that the Psul is a Smachta L'Kanya, then for sure it's a Rasha. And for sure it would be Ein Adam Esamar, Rasha, basically call yourself a Gaza. That's clear. But since we paskin like Rav Sheshes, that the factor is not the factor of Asmach Lakanya, but rather the factor of Ein Asukim B'Shiva Sha'olam, says the Pnei Yoshua, that factor of Ein Asukim B'Shiva Sha'olam is nothing to do with Rishus. it's a psul which is disassociated with the psul gavra of rishis. And just to see the lashon, just to hear the lashon of Pnei Yeshua inside. Hopefully, you guys got to see it. Pnei Yeshua says as follows: Nira, demasha kasa misachin bekuvya, v'lo amrinun baha eno de mesim atzarasha. Right, that which Rashi invokes the psul of misachin bekuvya and is not bothered by the fact of eno de mesim atzarasha. Right, next topic. Hainu mishum the kaimon kriv sheshes v'parag gimel dosanhedrin. Right, the second shita in our Gemara, the time of the misachin bekuvya psulim la'idus. That the reason for the psul of misachin bekuvya is lav mishum dahavle kigaz lanusa dasmakul akanya. It's not based on the fact of asmakul akanya v'chei agavna. Right, in which case it would be a rishus. V'chei agavna lav asmachtahu. Right, Rav Sheshes doesn't think that the fact of asmakul akanya applies here. Ela hatam de psulim. Hainu mishum de ein oskin be yeshivah she'ola. It's rather a fact of ein oskin be yeshivah she'ola. V'im kein lo mashvu nafshayu rishi bahachi. So the Pnei Yeshua is basically holding that, right, that this fact of ein osukin or ein oskin be yeshivah she'ola is not a psul of rishus. Again, we have to get back to what it is, but it's clear what it's not. It's not, it's, I guess it's an independent psul, which is not, which lacks a shame rasha. Number one. And the Rav is also quoted as saying something similar. Again, as understanding that this factor of ein oskin b'yeshiva she'olam again is not a psul rishus, but it's rather an idea that Beis Din will not accept this person's testimony, but not that he's a rasha. So again, in line with the Bnei Yeshua, and based on this, the Rav has basically explained slash suggests the following three things. Number one, he's a very interesting diak in the Gemara and Shavuos. Right, as you pointed out, the Gemara in Shavuos and Laman Aleph is where the Gemara explicitly refers to the psul of Misachah Bekuvya as only being a psul Nidrahom. Right, in the context of Karban Shavuos Eidus, there's a Machlokes Amoraim there as to whether a psul Drabanan is also excluded from Karban Shavuos Eidus. Again, right, it's clear that right, if someone's Pasul Midaraisa, that he's excluded for not having given testimony because he's Pasul Midaraisa anyways. The Machlokes, whether someone who's Pasul Midrabanan is subject to Karban Shavuos Eidus. Very interesting. The Rav is a very interesting dude. Basically, there are two lines in the Mishnah on Lam and Amnon, right? Explaining, you know, to which types of edim carbon shavuos edim applies. So one line is that they have to be ksherim velo psulim, and there's another line they have to be ruuyim lahagid, right? So again, they have to be ksherim velo psulim, and then ruuyim lahagid. Again, sounds like the same exact thing. But the Rav notes that when the Gemara is, you know, inferring the exclusion of Misachah Bekuvya from the Mishnah, it specifically excludes it from the line of Ela Beruim Lahagid and not from the line of Ksherim Velo Psulim. So says the Rav, it's very meduyak, because Ksherim Velo Psulim are referring to Psule Gavra. But, says the Rav, Misachah Bekuvya, according to this approach, it's not a psul gavra. It's not a psul rishus. It's just that the Beis Din will not accept his testimony, and therefore a misachah bekuvya is only excluded from the line of ruuyim lahagid. So again, it seems to be the exact same phrase. Just it seems to be repetitive. Ksherim lo psulim, then ruuyim lahagid. According to the Rabbi, really two different factors. One is referring to psule gavra, psule, you know, psulim of rishus, or other psule gavras such as, you know, krovim, etc. For a psul in the status itself. And then there's another phrase which is really referring to basically psulim, which are not psule gavar, but rather other types of psulim, such as misachah bekuvya, which is the Beis Din will not, they're practically not ruuyim lahagid, even though they lack a psul gavar. So again, it's a very fine diuk of the Rav, again, which would align with his approach. And then he suggests two other things, really. I guess the first one is really more of a, you know, more of a raya, and linguistic raya from the Mishnah to his Yisod, that Misachah Bekuvya is not a psul gavra, psul rishus. The other two are really nafkamina that he presents. So he says, based on this Yisod, that a Misachah Bekuvya lacks a psul rasha, lacks a psul gavra, he suggests the following two nafkamina. Nafkamina number one is that although Beis Din will not accept the testimony of a Misachah Bekuvya, because at the end of the day, you know, he's psul, psul gavra, but he's psul, will not accept his testimony. But if, basically, but his, I mean, sorry, they will not accept his testimony to thereby paskin based on that. But if he gives the testimony, and basically, say like this, b'makom tfisa, in a case where one party basically already basically grabbed the item, so then such an aid's, you know, test, even a misachet b'kufiyus testimony will work b'di'evin to cause Beis Din not to be motzi'im miyadav. So again, in short, although Beis Din will not accept such an aid's testimony l'chatzchila to then go ahead and be motzi mamon based on the testimony, but such a testimony will work basically to allow for, if the Baal Din himself was tofes, to not be motzi'im miyadav, to leave the status quo. Based on this idea that because it's just that Beis Din will not accept his testimony, but since there's no psul gavra, there's no problem of b'di'evid relying on this aid's. So again, the Rav here is really coming from a more famous Rashba, right? The Rashba in the Gemara in Shavuos, Laman Aleph there, is basically says this Yisod, but in a little different manner. Basically, the Rashba there is trying to deal with, as I pointed out before, there is a machlokas amaran as to whether the carbon Shavuos Eidos applies to a psul drabanan like a Masach HaBukudim. So one shita says that because he's only possible Dirabanan, but midoraisa, he's chazil Eidos, he's kosher Eidos, so therefore, carbon shavuos edus does apply. In the sense that, therefore, if someone is pasul midrabanan, since they're a kosher midaraisa, if they withhold their edus, then they're going to be chayiv. So the question the Rashba asks is that, in the end of the day, if the person is not kosher, practically kosher edus, the Rabbanan said you can't, your edus can't be accepted, so then carbon shavuos edus is always the chayiv of carbon shavuos edus, that you were mafsid one party by not testifying in his behalf. But if you can't testify practically because the Rabbanan were posel you, so ask the Rashba, so what's the basis of that shita to apply carbon shavuos eidos to someone who's possibly zirabana? So the Rashba answers famously that, oh, the eidos of a possible, the eidos of even eidim who are psulim zirabana work the makom tzvisa. That although, because they're psulim zirabana, we're not going to accept them the chatzchila, but they will work b'di'evet b'makom tzvisa to, right, allow the tofes to keep the money. So again, the Rashba applies this to all psulim drabanan, even psule irasha midrabanan. That's what he said. The Rav is basically taking the Rashba and basically limiting it to the context of the Gemara, which is the context of Masachek B'Kuvia, and saying, Rashba, you expanded it to all psulim, because Rashba, remember, again, Lishitaso views Masachek B'Kuvia as a classic, you know, psul rasha midrabanan. So therefore, the Rashba is saying, oh, it's clear from the Gemara that it works in some way, it works. Makom tisa, so it must be works for all psulim drabanan, even psule rasha midrabanan. But the Rav Lishitaso, who thinks that Masachet B'Kuvia is not a psul rasha midrabanan, it's basically it's a psul which lacks a called psul gadra. So therefore, you can limit this yisod of makom tisa working to specifically the type of psul midrabanan which lacks a psul gadra, lacks a psul rasha.
Just, I guess we're
going to
talk about what's the exact
soul. Yeah, we're going to get to that. What is it? We're going to get to that. Actually, the first one in the document, and then we'll kind of, if there's no rishos, then what is it? Yeah, we'll get to that in just a moment. So then, the third point that the Rav makes, the second nafkamina, is that based on this yisod, that this, you know, Masachet B'Kuvia lacks a psul rasha, lacks a psul gadra, says perhaps the din of nimsa echa meyam karu v'pasol, kulan b'telem, will not apply. Right? Generally, the Yisod in the Mishnah Mako says that if you have a kat of Edim, it could be 2 or 100, as long as one of those Edim is a psul, it's going to apostle all the rest of the Edim as well. But the Rav points out, perhaps that Yisod of Nimsa Chameim Karav Apostle Kulam B'Tselem is limited to a psul gavra. And the idea is that since one person is a psul gavra, then that apostles the entire kat. But a Masachet B'Kuvia, it's just an idea that we don't accept his testimony, but he lacks the psul gavra. So the Rav says, suggests that perhaps this din, another nakamina, that this din of nimsa chameim karav apostle will not apply.
It applies even for psul drabanan.
Yeah, exactly. As he's saying, if the psul drabanan is kein derais in the sense that it's a psul rasha, psul gavra, then it will trigger that. But if it's this new, like unique type of psul, which is not a psul gavra, so then it will not trigger that din. Fine. So you have the Pnei Yeshua and the Rav, both, again, Pnei Yeshua within Rashi, and it is based on Rishon. So, and then the Rav, not necessarily working within Rishonim in this particular context, basically both have this, like, this called this option 1b, that you have this Psul Drabanan, which is not a Psul Gavra. There's no Rishos here. So the question that we have to ask is then, so what is the psalm? Again, Bishlama 1a, where we're saying in some way his not being Oskin, right, Oskin, Yeshiva Sha'olam, somehow creates an aura of rishus within this person. That I can understand that. Like he said, not rishus midaraisa, so he didn't violate an avera daraisa. But at the end of the day, the Rabbanim basically said because of the midos, which, you know, which are generated, right, engendered by his lifestyle, we brand him a Rasha Rabbanim. I understand that. And that's why he's possible. Kein daraisa. But according to this approach, there's no psul rishus, even midi Rabbanim, so then what is it? Why do we not accept his testimony? So they both don't really explain. So I thought one way to explain this, if you remember, go back to Rashi, in the last Rashi on the Mishnah. Right, this is going right. This is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which the Gemara lines. With Rav Sheshes, the fact of in Oskin Bishuvah Sha'olam. So remember, there are different parts to Rashi's formulation. So while Rashi at the end adds the Einam Yirei Chet, which, as we pointed out last time, seems to point in the direction of some form of Rishus, it's possible these Mefarshim are accepting, let's say, the first part of Rashi. The factor of Einam Bikin B'Tiv Dinim Umasa Umatan. Alone. What's the idea? Pointed out, someone who is not involved in civilization, is not involved in society, doesn't have an awareness, doesn't have an understanding of basically commercial transactions, doesn't have an understanding of Chosha Mishpat, and if it doesn't understand what is normal business practice. So it could be that the reason for this psul of the non-Russia variety is the fact that someone who's in Oskin Bishiva Sha'olam is possible, we will not accept his aid, it's not because of some rishas, like warped mentality in terms of chait, in terms of lying, like we saw in the other Rishonim, rather that his lack of familiarity with the business world basically renders him unfit to basically be made in the realm of business. So again, this is one way of understanding how you can have a psul, which has nothing to do with rishus, but yet it's a psul. We're not going to accept your edith, we're not going to brand you a rasha, we're not going to brand you, give you a, you know, psul gavra, because you didn't do anything wrong, but at the end of the day, your lack of familiarity with the business world dictates that you were not fit to give edith. I thought that could be an explanation for this non-psul gavra, non-psul rasha variety of a psul, but yet have a reason to exclude a person from edith, because it doesn't make sense to accept his testimony if he doesn't understand the system. Yeah?
Why did he testify about Metzias?
About Metzias?
Yes.
I mean, because a lot of, I mean, what do you call Metzias? A lot of Metzias in the realm of, you know, say, Chosha Mishpat and Eidus, it's not just clear-cut facts. A lot of times it's just how you interpret certain things. So again, if you don't have a certain background, you can like see something and say, oh, look, he stole from him. Or he was tricking him. And you're going to present that as fact, as Metzias, as you call it. But yet, if you really understood what's going on, you had a better understanding of the way people interact, you'd realize that, you know, something else is going on. Some, you know, everything was fine.
And you could still get him to actually just say, to try to take away all the...
Your mind can play very tricky things. What you perceive as fact, I think a lot of times is colored by your backgrounds. And I think that's... Yeah.
Based on that, how does the world make the comparison between a bad Tfasa from that Rashba? Because I understand by...
He's not calling the Rashi, right?
I'm saying he's bringing the concept of the Rashi.
Yeah.
I understand by Sol Rabbanon's meaning kosher, but the Rabbanon said that or not. But Midrash is good. But this is not like a tool. This is like the system doesn't allow you to work. So like, the system doesn't accept you at all.
I mean, the Rabbanon don't like...
No, but like, at the end of the day, the Rabbanon's people, the Rabbanon control, have to really control the system. So why is that supposed to work if the system doesn't accept you? Things are nothing.
Well, I mean, that exists for the Rashi. I mean, that's Kashan the Rashi, but also. Because at the end of the day, the Rabbanon are also... system is not allowing you to come.
The
sort of the Rashba is that there's a very important chilek between, you know, in the realm of accepting something to actively paskin based on that, or to, you know, perform a maizen of like being multi mom or something like that. And there's a completely different realm of, you know, accepting and allowing certain information to enter into beizen to leave things. Basically, as you pointed out, we saw this in this, if you remember, like Kibbalah, before we saw that Rashi, which is a totally different standard. For in the case of etain, then machum. You know, Rashi pointed out that it could be that completely different standard of, you know, the requirements, the qualifications of dayanim when the dayanim are being motzi, are performing a maisa bezin, and when they're just, you know, leaving things where they are. Mm-hmm. So tzvira could be just like there was different standards in terms of the type of dayanim which are required. So tzvira was saying different standards in terms of the type of information we accept into bezin. Mm-hmm. That's what I think that's what the idea is going to be. And again, the Rav is just taking that very mechudash yisod of the Rashba and just limiting it. Don't apply it to all psalm derabanan. Limit it to very specific types of psalm derabanan which lack a psalm gavra. Okay, fine. So that was all called approach number one, both A and B, in terms of viewing Einasukin Bishivash Olam as an independent factor. We're going to see a number of, you know, Mefarshim, we're going to see the Rambam, the Chiddush Eran, and the Gra, basically are going to take the second approach, which basically understand Rav Sheshes as combining these two factors of Asmachta Lokanya with the factor of Ein Oskin, or Ein Asukin Bishivo Olam. So first, again, we'll document and we'll try to understand exactly within each shita how exactly this combination of factors is working, what's going on. So first you have the Rambam. So again, the Rambam talks about Masechta Lukuvia in different places and gives off very different impressions in the different places. And the question is, how do you put all these different Rambams together? So the first Rambam, or Rambams, are in Hilchos Gzela, right? Perek Vav, Halachos Zayin, and Yud. So in this context of Hilchos Gzela, right, in line with, you know, the topic of, you know, of these halachos, he basically brands and characterizes the Masechta Lukuvia as the Gazlan Midrabban. Again, his lashon is as follows in both these places. Right in Halacha Zayin, he says Hari Zeh Gazlan Midivrayim when referring to Masechta Lukuvia, among other things. So again, he brands him a Gazlan, and then he explains in Halacha Yud. He says Hari Zeh Gezel Midivrayim. Right, the act of being involved in Masechta Lukuvia is Gezel Midrabban. Afal Pi Shibirotzon Abaylon Lakach. Again, even though it was, you know, everyone agreed to the deal. Still, Hol Lakach Mamon Chaveira Bechinam Derek Schok. Schok is the hotel. I wasn't sure what that word meant. Somehow, basically, this is his description of a smachta, which again is interesting. It's more than a smachta discussion. But even though they both agreed to it, but this is seemingly his way of saying because it was but Derek Smachta, Hariz a Gezel. It's still a Gezel Mitrabani. Again, he doesn't quote the, you know, the lashon of Asmachta, but the way most Nosakelim, including the Magen Mishnah and Asmat, understand this Rambam as working within Asmachta Lakam. Basically, the fact that the Rambam calls him Masechta Lukuvia a Gazlan Midrabanan seems to be basically accepting, at least there, the basically the Rami Bar Chama's idea that the factor of Asmachta Lokanya applies to Masechta Lukuvia. Fine. So if you stop there, you get the impression that Rambam passes like Rami Bar Chama. Fine. All is well. But then if you get to Hilchos Eidos, like Perek Yud, Halacha Dalet, he gives off a very different impression. Here, again, while he again references, characterizes Masechta Lukuvia as a Vak Gezel, again, he doesn't ignore that factor here, but then he adds the requirement, basically like a review, there's a requirement, the requirement of, basically the qualification rather, that the Psul Masechta Lukuvia only applies to a professional gambler. When Ein where Masechta Lukuvia is his only profession, but if it's something that he does in a one-time bit, or, you know, either one time or, you know, on a non-kavua basis, then the psul doesn't apply. So again, this is the Rambam's lashon is as follows. It's gonna be important. So pay attention to this. Right, again, the psul Masechta Lukuvia only applies to someone who, right, that lo siya lo umnus elahu. This is his only job. And he says, "Ho'ol ve'ino osik b'yeshiva she'olam." Again, coming out to this Rav Sheshes' factor, because the person's professional gambler is ein osik b'yeshiva she'olam. Therefore, this is a key line. All the Rishonim trying to understand this. Hari ze becheskas she'ochel min hakuvya shehu avak gezel. It's if you're ein osik b'yeshiva she'olam, if you're removed from society, so there's a chazaka that you're basically eating, being, you know, deriving sustenance from your gambling money. So it's clear, if you put these two Rambams together, the Rambam on the one hand seems to apply Asmachta Lokanya here, but yet applies, basically also requires the factor of Ein Osukin B'Yeshiva She'olam, which therefore qualifies and limits the Psul Masechta Lukuvia to a full-time professional gambler. And the obvious question that the Nosakelim ask,
but if he has money that he got from somewhere, from a town or whatever. So he's allowed to give it again.
So it's
he's a gambler.
Yeah.
Just
professional gambler.
Yeah. He doesn't work, but he has other money. He has money, yeah.
Yeah. So this is going to depend on the different pshatim in the Rambam, depending on how you understand that chazaka is going to impact exactly your point. Well, we'll get back to that. That's a good segue. So the question that the Mefarshim will deal with is, what's going on? If you pass in a smachta lokanya, and it's based on gezel, then gezel applies even on a one-time basis. If you're a gazlan once, we know that gazlan is possible ages. So then why does he limit it to davka, someone who's a professional gambler, does it for a full-time profession, and needs to come on to this factor of enoskin, yeshiva sha'ola? That's the question that everyone is bothered by. So the Kesef Mishnah offers an interesting answer. And he basically, again, it's an Ogimta, he limits the Rambam, right? He says, when does the Rambam basically cite this qualification of Ein lo umnos elohu? Only when we're dealing with Amsachi Bekubya, whom we are not sure basically was ever violated gezel. He says, regarding Amsachi Bekubya, who again, either only gambles with Goyim, or we've only, when we've seen him gamble with Jews, there's no money around. So based on what we've seen, we don't know that he's a gazlan. Again, because the only time, you know, there's a problem, Mzaka Bakubi is a problem with gezel, number one, you're playing with money. Again, if you're playing for fun, it's not gezel. Number two, in this context, this type of gezel akko is mutter. So again, the only time it's going to be a problem, the only time the psul gezel is going to be triggered is when you're gambling with Jews and with money. So the Kesef Mishnah, in right, Mechudash fashion, says, limits the Rambam and Hilchos Eidos, and says the only time the Rambam requires, this qualifies the Psul Mesach of the Kubi to a case where he's a full-time gambler, is only when we've only caught him gambling either with Gayim or with Jews of that money. And therefore, the only time we're going to passel him Mishum Gezel is if we know that he's a full-time gambler, so then the assumption, the Chazakah, is that he was also basically gambled with Jews with money, and therefore was also, and therefore is a gazlan. So according to the Kesef Mishnah, conceptually, according to the Kesef Mishnah, the only psul at hand is really gezel, a smach lokanya. And the factor of in oskin b'shuvah sha'olam is not a second psul, which is combining, is that in oskin b'shuvah sha'olam is just a simen to the fact that this person is really a gazlan. And therefore, in a case where you know the guy is a gazlan, and even on a one-time basis, you saw him gambling with Jews with money. So therefore, that would possibly be Mishum Gezel, and you wouldn't need to come on to the fact of Enos can be Shavu Sha'olam. So again, Kesef Mishnah points out that it actually does work out very nicely with the Lashon of the Rambam at the end here, when he says, Hold the Eno Oske Shavu Sha'olam. So what's the therefore? Harizeh Becheskos She'ochel Min HaKuvya Shehu Avad Gezel. So the way he understands it is that the factor of Yeshiva Sha'olam is just needed to set up the chazaka that he's a gazlan. So according to the Kesef Mishnah, again, the lone koveya, the lone psul, is a psul gezel. And the Yeshiva Sha'olam factor is just a simen that this person is a gazlan. To point that, the difficulty of the Kesef Mishnah is that he's basically saying what the Rambam implies is a qualification across the board is only limited to very specific circumstances which the Rambam doesn't mention. Which is always a difficulty. You know, if Rambam says it's Tom, you'd like to not limit it in such a drastic fashion. So that's it. Again, getting back to Ariel's point. So, according to this explanation, your factor would have mattered, right? Because as long as he was a gazlan one time, and if we're assuming one, if he's a full-time professional gambler, we're going to assume that he was a gazlan at one point. The fact that he had a Yerusha, right, and has a lot of money, it's not going to impact us. So, for stay tuned for the Gra's explanation. For I think for the Gra, there's room for that to be enough. So again, that's the Kesef Mishnah is the first explanation of the Rambam. So the Rav, in quoting the Shiri HaRav, basically understands the Rambam as really, I would say, kapashas in one sense, really thinking that you have a combination of these two psalm. Again, that the Rambam needs a combination of a smach to lokanya alongside the psul of in oskin yeshivo sha'ol. Again, doesn't explain how they combine, but the way he's understanding the Rambam is that this qualification of in oskin yeshivo sha'olam applies across the board, and the way it works is that you need both factors, you need both, in order for masachak b'kuvya to be puzzle, it needs to be both a gazlan, smach lokanya, and he needs to have the factor of ein osek b'yeshivu sha'ol. But again, we still have to understand what exactly is the nature of this combination. We're going to offer a suggestion after we see the Ran, who also has such a combination. They say, what is this idea? If each one can't be posel by itself, so then why somehow, like, when you combine them, they are posel? I'm discussing some guys. The phrase is like 0 + 0 = 0. Doesn't equal 1. So basically, if each factor alone is nothing, is a 0, so then somehow why, when you combine them together, somehow you come on to the psalm? That's the question we have to get back to. But another problem, just to note, while the Rav's pshat works well with the fact that he doesn't have to limit, you know, the Rambam and Hilchos Eidos to a very specific situation like the Kesef Mishnah does, the fact, meaning the Lashon HaRizeh B'cheskas, doesn't seem to work out so well, because that seemed to work out better for the Kesef Mishnah. So again, there's a benefit to the Kesef Mishnah, and there's a downside to the Kesef Mishnah, just like with the Rav. And the Kesef Mishnah's upside is that he works out very well with the Lashon HaRizeh. It doesn't work out so well because he's making Okimta in Hilchos Eidos. The Rav works out well the fact that he's understanding the, you know, the Rav and Hilchos Eidos is applying across the board, but doesn't seem to work out so well with the Cheskas. Yeah?
I'd just like to point out another advantage to the Rav over the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah has to have a very definite understanding of the Gemara in order to explain this.
You say, because it doesn't sound like that.
It doesn't sound like it at all. Like, he explains it inside, but yeah. It's very definite.
100%. Yeah. You just see it. Yeah. 100%. 100%. Before we offer the explanation of how they work together, just to see another Rishon who understands this combination, and that is the Chiddush HaRan. As the Chiddush HaRan on Chavav Amud Beis, my dear Maskel Amir Rabbi Yavo, also understands Rav Sheshes in this manner. Right? He basically points out that because the Masachei B'Kuvya, according to Rav Sheshes, basically, as you pointed out last time, doesn't think he's being over Gezel, right? He thinks, oh, we both agree that, you know, whoever wins, you know, winner takes all. So since the person doesn't think he's violating an Isser, so therefore the fact of a smach v'kanya can't alone trigger the psul, right? Not even midra ban according to the Chiddush HaRan. We discussed that last time also. So therefore, says the Chiddush HaRan, Rav Sheshes has to combine factor of a smach v'kanya, which alone is not koveya psul, with this factor of ein oskim yeshuvo sha'ol. I'll just read it inside. And so the kivin to a mashmal hu le'inshi le'me'evat isura. Since in the case of smachta lokanya, the person didn't realize he was doing an isser. Therefore, afilu drabanan in roi sheyifsalu misachik b'kuvia afilu midivrei. Therefore, it's not roi to even brand him a pasal midrabanan. According to Chiddush HaRan, again, this is l'shitaso to Chavdal and Beis, where he rejects Tosas based on this idea, where he says, if you really think the person did not intend to do anything wrong, so then you shouldn't be puzzle at all. So again, a smach to lekanya in the context of a sachik b'kuvya should be kosher legamri based on a smach to lekanya alone. Therefore, elam kein ein lahem umnos elahu. Unless you combine it with the factor of ein oskin b'shiva sha'olam, and then somehow they work together. And that's the time made Rav Sheshes. So again, the Chiddush HaRan has this combination, like the Rav's explanation of the Rambam, this combination of both factors of a smach to lekanya with ein oskin b'shiva sha'olam. The question that we now have to address is, how in the world do you combine these two different things? How are they working together to be a half and a half equals one instead of what seems to be 0 + 0? So I'd like to suggest the following, I think it's a chiddush, but the following idea. If you analyze the Ran, what did the Ran basically say? Just to conceptualize the Ran. The Ran basically said, if you analyze a smach to lekanya alone, he's basically saying, you have a Maisa Avera, right? It's a Maisa Gezel, but without the mentality of Rishus. Right? There's no Rishus Bechavana. There's a person who's totally Shogeg. So again, based on a Smachta Lokanya in this context, you have a Maisa Avera, you have a Maisa Rishus, without a mentality of Rishus. Which, according to the Ran, again, is not Koveya Psul, because it seems that you need both factors, both a Maisa Rishus and a mentality of Rishus. So I'd like to suggest what the factor of Ein Oskin B'Shiva Sha'olam provides, that it provides that mentality of Rishus. If you recall, based on the Rishonim that we were developing last time, which are Rashi, Yad Ramah, Meiri, they're all basically saying that the mentality engendered by the factor of Ein Oskin B'Shiva Sha'olam, whether it be Yirei Chet, or being someone who's a Shakran, someone who doesn't respect other people's money, that basically In Oskin Bishur Sha'olam, basically engenders, creates this mentality of rishus. And therefore, the combination of Asmachta Lokanya with In Oskin Bishur Sha'olam is that each one provides a necessary factor which is needed to be kovei psul. Again, in order to have a psul, you need both a maisa rishus and a mentality of rishus. So the Asmachta Lokanya provides the maisa rishus of the maisa gezel, that's the maisa haveira. But the mentality of rishus is provided by the Ein Oskin Bishivu Sha'olam along the lines of the way the other lot of Rishonim understand that Ein Oskin Bishivu Sha'olam is basically establishes that this person has a mentality of rishus. That's my suggestion as to how these two factors combine, because each one provides one key component, and then the two of them together are koveya, are upsol.
Once you have a mentality of rishus, why do you need a message?
Because meaning, I think you need both to be kovei psul. According to this understanding, it's a very kiddush that just based on your mentality of rishus. If you haven't done it, meaning, take a step back. For understanding, putting aside the Rav and the Pnei Yeshua, the basic understanding of Masach Lekuvia is that he's a psul rasha. So in deraisa, a psul rasha. Psul rasha, in deraisa, is always based on having violated no hair. That's the classical paradigm. Paradigmatic cases of Psulei Rasha are where the person violated concrete others.
Well, violating the others is a giloy to his mental state.
No, I'm saying point of the Shemani is both.
Okay, but the one problem is the very violating the Ravan, they're not even aware that they're doing the Vera.
That's the point, but it's the same act of Masati Bukubia from a Gezel standpoint, right? From the Gezel standpoint, you lack the vicious mentality. That same Masati Bukubia engenders a rishis mentality from the standpoint of your chayes, respecting other people's money, etc. Shakranis.
But again, that's 0 plus 0.
No, because each one provides what we'll call a half. A half being either maisa rishis, and then rishis mentality. And then, we're basically saying, in order to get to, you need two things to be kovei a psul rasha. You need maisa rishis and a rishis mentality. And in the classical cases where you're over and Avera B'shogi, B'mezid, you have both together easily. You have the nice rishus, and then the rishus mentality, the fact that you had Kavana to be over that Avera.
The reason why you need mice in those cases is the mice is, again, the Gila and the mentality.
No.
Why would we believe something prevent you from being able to not be in the judicial system?
The notion of there being an impact of violating an Avera on your standing of tzitzkos and rishus is like a very basic understanding. When you perform averos, you need tshuva. Meaning, there is a notion of like there being a impact, meaning of the maisa avera alone, without it being just a giloy to your kavanos.
Fine, you need. Let's say you need to do a averos, you need tshuva to be misakim what you did. But just because you did something wrong to show doesn't mean that that affects you in any way that should have any bearing on your being in the judicial system. It doesn't change your character.
So I'm saying, in this case, the combination of Smachta Lokanya and Yeshiva Sha'olam, you have both factors.
Smachta Lokanya doesn't change your character at all.
No, I mean, Smachta Lokanya is the Maisa Gezel, and then your Rishus mentality is the Yeshiva Sha'olam. Again, they're both through your gambling. They're both a similar Maisa. They're just different aspects of it. One aspect is the Gezel Shabel, one aspect is the Enos Kim Yeshiva Sha'olam aspect. Think about it. We'll discuss that.
I think it's not like the mice that have a kugia that provides a mentality, it's the lack of another mice, right?
Just
the lack of another something good, like job or something, right? The lack of a Yeshua Shalom, that's the mentality of mentality. It's both,
because as we were explaining last time, meaning it's not just where you live, it's the fact that you're a gambler and you're associating with a certain people and a certain. It's not just, Einos Kim Yeshiva Sha'olam, that you're just not in civilization. It's that you're specifically hanging out, like we call it, the dark, smoky rooms. That's what Einos Kim Yeshiva Sha'olam is. And that's, if you look at the Rishonim, meaning it's that's what engenders this mentality of not caring about lying, not caring about other people's money. It's not just, what you're not doing, you don't have a steady job, it's that what you are doing. It's very important. I appreciate the comment. And it's very important to note that even the Ein Oskin B'Shiva Sha'olam and this vicious mentality, it's coming from your Misachi, Bekuvia.
But in that case, yeah. Watch the fact that you have another job to affect that at the end of the day. So it's not Bekuvia, it's still associated with those people. Right?
No, because the idea is if you have a steady job and you're doing it just doing this on the side, so then the impact of those people, again, you might, the fact that you are also part of society and you also deal with normal good people, that means that when you gamble, it has less of an impact on your mentality.
Right. So I'm just pointing out that lack of that being part of normal society is a factor in this.
No, for sure. Oh, I 100%. I'm pointing out, but I thought you were, the implication of the way you originally said it, as I took it, was that means Enos can be Shivish Olam, this vicious mentality is disassociated from the Misachi of the Kuvia. It's just more that what you're not doing. So I'm saying it's both. And when it's both, then, because if it wasn't connected all to Misachi B'Kuvia, then it's like they're coming from random places. But we're saying, no, it's the same Misachi B'Kuvia, which both is a Maisa Rishus, based on the Maisa Gezel, and is also the same factor which contributes, alongside other factors, to this Rishus mentality. Okay, and I completely agree. Fine. Okay, that's it. A Chiddush. Again, I'm not happy, so we'll discuss later. Again, I don't understand your specific, taina, but I guess we'll discuss later. I think it's very clear in all of halacha that there is an impact to a maisa avera alone. I'm assuming you're not making that clear. And maisa averas are not just impactful because of, a giloy for, where your mind's at. Mashalma d'avadomer is that, you have a maisa avera b'shogig, which requires kapara through karbanos.
Because your averas have
it's a chalos term I said there.
Your viewers do things. Yeah.
No, meaning there's the association of a maisa avera with you, forgetting any mentality. Just the association of you with a maisa avera itself has an impact in halacha and therefore requires kapara.
Doesn't turn into a rush.
I didn't say it does. That's where there's no rishus mentality at all. But here you have the rishus mentality because Enos can be shivishol.
There's the consequences of your actions, and then there's the quality of your character.
In the actions itself,
the fact that you need to do tshuva for shogeg is because
because
your averas did something bad, and you have to fix that somehow.
Yeah. So
okay, but that doesn't.
What's your
question? Completely divorced from the judicial system. That has nothing to do. That will not affect your standing in the judicial system at all.
No, but it's
able
both.
To be an aid or,
meaning, if you have bad machshavos, you never find that being postal you aidus. The psul rasha is only when you have both. You have an avera, a very concrete maisa avera, alongside, according to the Ran, with rishus mentality.
I think it's good. So somebody who has hirhuri avera, somebody who actually does the avera, one who actually does the avera is a more bigger rasha than.
I disagree. If you think the whole factor of the psul rasha of the maisa is just a giloy to your thinking and it's a concretization of, I completely disagree.
Okay.
So we're not going to argue that. If that's your taina, then no. Okay. Say it. Okay. So you have the Rambam, just pointed out the Kesemish's understanding, and then the Rav's understanding, which we're now explaining again based on this combination idea of the Chiddush HaRan. Again, basically what came out, you have the Rambam according to the Kesef Mishnah, and then you have the Chiddush HaRan, and then the Rambam according to the Rav, basically both holding of this combination idea, and I'm suggesting this combination of a Maisa Rishus with a Rishus mentality, both are needed to be Koveya, the Psul Rasha. So the last Shita we have to discuss, and getting back to Ariel's point, is the Shita of the Grah. So the Grah, in two places, has this idea. He's coming off, the Rambam, as holding the way to understand Rav Sheshes is that it's a combination of both factors of a Smal Kanya and Ein Oskin V'Yeshiva Sholom. So the first Grah is actually on the spot, in the Hagosa Grah. So he points out that according to the Rambam, Rambam has to take out, the first line of Rav Sheshes, right? Well, Rav Sheshes, as we have in our Gemara, the introduction to his Shita is Kol Ki Agavna, right? And as we pointed out, that very much not implies, that's explicit, right, that Rav Sheshes is rejecting the factor of Asmachta L'Kanya and only focusing on the factor of Enos Kim Bishop Shalom. So the Gra points out that according to the Rambam, and you can add the Chiddush HaRan, who think that Rav Sheshes is combining both factors, you basically have to take out that first line, and that's what the Gra does. To just say, Lefisha Enos Kim Bishop Shalom, and you can just understand that as, coming off of Smach L'Kanin and adding an additional factor. Fine. So that goes, that's the grot number one. The second grot, which again is a little, this one is just a couple words, but the in the birar grot, in Choshen Mishpat, Reish Gimel, Sifkaton Mem Dalet. So the grot here, you know, expands on the Rambam Shita, and he explains in his own way what it, basically the combination of the Rambam. Why the Rambam needs both Asmachta Lokanya and this factor of Ein Oskim Yishuv Sholom. So again, this is going to be a third version of the combination. We have the Kesa Mishnah's version of the combination where Ein Oskim is just a simon. Then you have the our suggestion for the Ran and possibility of the Rambam of the combination based on Meister Vishus and Vishus mentality. So the Gra is going to have a third combination of Ein Oskim Yishuv Sholom alongside Asmachta Lokanya. And he says as follows. He says that because, again, he's the Gra, so he doesn't explain so much, but what he says is that because the Asmachta Lokanya is only Avak Gezel, it's only Gezel Mitzrabanan, perhaps Avak Gezel even has a further connotation, not just Durabanan, but even like a less severe Durabanan, hence the Avak. So because Asmachta Lokanya, in this context at least, is only Avak Gezel, therefore the only time that Gezel is going to trigger a Psul Edus is when the person is misparnes from the gezel. I didn't get to the other point. I can tell where I'm going. The Choshen Mishpat, the Bir HaGra's lashon is as follows: Mikamakom eino poso hoil the eino ella avak gezel ella imkain misparnes mimenu. So the only time a smach lekanya is going to trigger a psul is when the person is basically fully sustained from his gambling money. And therefore he explains, the fact that Ein Oskim Yishuvah Shel Olam is basically the Rambam's way of saying that you need this person to be misparnes from the gezel. Fine.
What?
Oh, dark. So the big question is,
what?
Again, generally we understand that if you hold a smach lekanya, so it's a one-time gezel. So again, we explained before that it's one-time gezel, but you might need to, in the case of Mishnah, you need the Inos Kimishvish Olam to, you know, as a simon that he actually was over gezel. According to our suggestion before, it's a ma'isa gezel, but you're lacking the vicious mentality, and therefore Inos Kimishvish Olam is needed to provide that vicious mentality. Question is, what's going on with the gra? What's this idea that you're only puzzle if you're sustained, you know, from your gambling money? And before we get to that, as you can probably imagine, this gets back to your point. Because according to your tier, where you're a full-time gambler, but you're not misparnes from your gezel, so it could be there wouldn't be no problem for the gezel. That's why the interesting nafkamina between the different pshatim in the Rambam. So it's a very good point. Oh. So this is a very difficult gra to understand what is going on. So again, it's possible to suggest, this is not a full answer, but basically as follows. Actually, I think back to Aaron's point. And that is that generally the way, that's fine, it's actually the opposite of what you're saying. Yeah. Is that a possible understanding of a psul gavra, of a psul rasha, is that you have a maisa avera, right, which is associated, which basically is mitzuruf, is associated to the person. Basically, the problem, the reason why this person is pasul eidus, is because he has an avera, a maisa avera, which is mitzuruf, which is closely associated with him. But it's possible that according to the Gra, that he's machalik between different types of averos in terms of whether a one-time violation is mitzuruf to the person. Whether a person is defined by the aver. And that is, by, let's say, classical averos d'oraisa, and perhaps even, you know, higher level, you know, averos d'rabanan, which may be ke'in d'oraisa. So there, just the mere violation of the avera, and the chomer associated with that violation of the avera, basically, now moving forward, associates this gavra with those averos. And therefore, because his because of his bad association with the avera, he's excluded from the judicial system. could be what the Gra is saying, that when it comes to avak gezel, where the maisa avera is played down, is watered down, it's just avak, I mean, it's hard to understand what exactly the gedarm of this, what exactly the gedar of this is, but it's possible when it comes to such a, you know, low level avak maisa avera, it could be that in this context, the mere one-time violation does not suffice for the gavra to be associated with such an avera. And therefore, according to the Gra, the only time you're going to have an association between the person and this avera is when there's a full-time, a continued association between the person and the avera moving forward. And therefore, when the person is misparnes from the avera, it's not that, oh, he performed the avera and now he's moving on. Again, in the context of, you know, very chamor averas, you wouldn't be able to move on from the avera. Once the avera is on your record, you haven't performed tshuva, that's it. When it comes to, perhaps, the Gra is saying, when it comes to such a low-level avera, if you just performed the avera and moved on with your life, perhaps you would no longer be associated with that avera for that avera to be posted. And therefore, it's only when you were continually misparnes from the fact that you were, you know, continually, you know, support yourself and your family through, you know, the guilty money, through the money of this avera, with that continued association through being misparnes from the money, that is continually mitzaref this person to the avera. Never only in this context where you're in misparnes is there a sufficient tziruf, is there a sufficient association, sufficient connection between the person and the avera for that, for this type of avera to trigger a psul avos. Yes, I'm assuming you're not going to like this. Yeah?
First of all, if it's all the inconsistency, then why do I care?
Consistency?
He's always doing it, right?
Oh, that type of consistency. Continued association, okay.
Continued association. If it's all the continued association, why do I care if he actually eats for the money or if he has a huge Arusha from a few years ago?
No, because the only way he's continually associated with the Avera, again, as you'll see from, you know, in this line, I think it's until now.
Nowadays, you'll have to work.
I'm not sure what's relevant to that one, but I'm saying, I don't know. The price on Chafei Yom Beis discusses the different ways to be chozer b'tshuva from different averas. And if you look at the examples, a lot of them are basically saying the ways to be chozer Chafei Yom Beis is basically, it's a way of basically throwing away the money that you know, derived from the Isser. And throw it exactly.
So because of the situation, it'd be harder for you to do tshuva?
No. So I'm just saying, you see from there that basically continually keeping the money from the avera is a continued association with the avera. Hence, the need, if you want to do tshuva and you want to disassociate yourself from that avera, the way to disassociate yourself is by removing that money. Giving out to aniyim, he's talking in the context of shvius, being mafazer, you know, the pair of shvius, all your prophets, that's the way to disassociate. So the converse to that, in the Gra's, you know, idea, in a worldview, is that, and therefore you see from there that if you continually, you know, use the money that you gained from the avera, that's going to continually associate you with that avera. Also pointed out before is that the assumption of the Gra is that without that factor, there would not be a sufficient tziruf. So again, there's a couple of assumptions. Assumption number one is that for the Gra, you know, the psul rasha is based on your tziruf, the tziruf between, you know, you and the avera. Assumption number one. You didn't have to understand like that. Just ask you. Right? So assumption one is that the psul rasha is based on the tziruf, an association between the gavra and the avera. Assumption number two is that when it comes to avak ribis, avak gezel, right, in contrast to most other averas where just the violation itself creates an association moving forward until you have a whole maisa tshuva, here, when it comes to avak gezel, just the violation alone does not, you know, create a continued association. And therefore he says, I guess assumption number three, that the way to have that association is basically by continually being misparnes from the money, from the proceeds of that avera, and that assumption number three is very connected to the Bryson Chafei Yom Beis in the opposite direction.
Bryson Chafei Yom Beis.
Yeah.
It seems to be that it's not a din keeping the money. It's not like, the point is, as long as you don't get rid of the money, then you're not doing tshuva. As in, not that having the money like the money is like cursed and, you know.
I didn't say it's cursed.
Yeah, but
it's two sides of the same coin.
No.
Shuva is about
Mali. If you're keeping the money, you're giving parts. And Mali, if you're keeping the money, putting it in the back room and giving parts with all the money you have. Like,
okay, there are different levels. Meaning, this gets to Ariel's point. You could draw the line in different places. It doesn't mean I'm not sure that the grow wouldn't even ask for this. I'm not sure what exactly the grow is together in this part. It could be as long as it's in his bank accounts. I don't know if he has to actually be, you know, using those proceeds to buy money. There are different ways, there are different levels of tziruf. So again, all I'm saying is that from there, I mean, two sides of the same coin, the context of tshuva, you see that a way of disassociating yourself from an avera is by basically not associating with the proceeds of an avera. So the converse of that, I think, what the Gemara is saying is that a way, again, you don't want to do this, but a way of associating with an avera is when you continually derive benefit from the proceeds of an avera. That's all I'm saying. The chidushim, I think the other chidushim of the Gra, again, or at least my understanding of the Gra, are the ideas that you need a tziruf between the gavra and the avera in order for there, you know, to be a psal rasha, and then the chidush, the distinction between, you know, avak gezel and most other averas. And just in terms of that first assumption, once we're talking about it, there's an idea that the psal rasha is based on association between the avera and the gavra. Happens to be there. There's a whole sugya, again, about, you know, neutralizing the psul rasha, and one way of doing that is through tshuva. So again, if tshuva is understood as basically distancing yourself, disassociating yourself from the avera, so it actually works out very nicely with that first assumption. That if the meaning, if we're saying that the koveya of the psul is your continued association, so then it makes sense that a way to, you know, negate the psul is by disassociating yourself by performing tshuva. So again, I think a bunch of, you know, the assumptions of our explanation of the Gra, I think, you know, are founded in the Gemara. Any other? You have a question?
Yeah. Well, I was going back on the Kesef Mishnah.
Yeah.
Where I'm not sure exactly how you explained how the fact that you don't have right. It was like Mishol Shel Olam is a Chesgon and Gezmon. I understood it differently.
Oh, the way I understood it, maybe I have to look at it again. Yeah. The way I understood it is that, I mean, you only caught him the act. He was, say, gambling with Gayim or gambling without money.
Right.
That's the only thing, you know, you got, you know, only thing you had to eat him on.
Right.
But the fact that he's a full-time gambler, like it's Ein Oskin B'Shuvah Shel Olam, just the chazaka is that because he does this full-time, is that the assumption is that for sure there's a chazaka that he also gambled with Yisraelim with money.
Well, what is the fact that he has a very big Yerusha counter that
Chesgon
that he's playing for money
because
he already has money?
Why would he
play for money?
Ah, come on.
What?
What's the Oev
Kesef,
Leyus Bekesef?
Yeah.
You know, just that doesn't bear itself out. People who have money stop wanting to get more money.
This is the only thing he does, right? And he doesn't have another job, so how does he get money? Oh, he probably gambles for money. But if he already has money.
No, that's not it. This is what he gambles. He spends 18 hours a day gambling, so why?
The problem is not the money. Problem is gambling with Jews.
No, only with money.
With money.
So he's just saying, oh, you know, if you're already very wealthy, so then who says you're gambling for money?
No, it's boring not to play with.
Okay, that's another answer to the question. So my answer is that just because you're wealthy doesn't mean you're not going to want to accumulate more wealth. I ain't Kohelis. The other answer is that it's more fun when you're playing with money. Okay. Yeah.
In that case, though, even if he has another onus, maybe he's playing with money.
Yeah.
One more time?
He's Osek Bishul
Shalom. Yeah.
Say it again? If he's Osek Bishul Shalom.
Gaslin with Ovdei Kohanim. I mean, Misachlik Bekovia and Ovdei Kohanim. So, if he has another onus, then he may still also want more money.
No, correct, but you don't have a chazaka. I mean, the idea of a chazaka is that there's a Torah's Vadai. That, I mean, again, if he's, you know, if he does it once in a while on his vacation, so then if you only caught him doing it in certain circumstances, you don't know, you know, chazaka that he for sure gambled with Israel.
How do you neutralize
the chazaka? No, you don't have a chazaka.
Why not?
Just like a chazaka's
guy. Meaning, a chazaka needs a certain level of certainty. So the only time you have that certainty is when the guy's a professional gambler, so you assume, you know, if he's doing this all day as a profession, for sure he's going to be, you know, gambling.
You're saying he's a professional gambler. You don't know he's a professional gambler. You're just not gambling once. That's the whole point.
No. The Rambam's saying that in la umnus elahu.
Doesn't mean that we know for a fact he does 18 hours a day. It's not the same thing.
No, in la umnus elahu. He doesn't have any other job. You know, when he introduces himself, he says, "Hi, my name's Freddy. I'm a gambler." Okay, I think we'll. Okay. Yeah, but.